is presence. But verses 11 through 13, it's where we pick it up. And then I'll do some review. I'd like to do some review through the book of Romans very briefly. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him, which is Jesus, will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, Paul's desire and prayer for Israel is that they would be saved. And Bill shared with us that when we align our desires with God's, we see the evidence of him working. I wonder whoever else remembers that from last week. When we align our desires with God's, we see evidence of him working. When your only goal is to get God to do what you want him to do, you might be frustrated. Okay, you just might get frustrated. Now, Romans 3:1 says, what advantage did the Jew have if righteousness is not by the law? And now when he gets to chapter 11, he's going to say, has God cast away his people, the Israel? Well, no. We know what happened when the Jews received the gospel on the day of Pentecost. How many people were saved? How many? 3,000. Remember at Mount Sinai, 3,000 died when the law was given, and when the Holy Spirit was given, 3,000 were saved. Grace versus the law. A little help there for remembering. Okay, 3,000. So I'll just keep moving. So 3,000, and were how many of those were Gentiles? Nada. It was all Jews. The church was birthed in Jewish roots. And did Paul know the zeal that he talks about? The Jews have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Did he know the advantage of being a Jew? I mean, he was the poster child of zeal, and he was the poster child of advantage. Read Philippians 3, we'll tell you about that. Was he cast away? No. Paul got saved. What did he say when he reasoned with the Jews? In every city, he would go into the synagogue if there was one. And you know where he tells about his salvation moment? What would he be talking about when he goes into those synagogues? It says he reasoned in the scriptures, but there's so much he could say. A lot of Romans 9, 10, and 11 will tell you some things that he would talk to them about. And we know that when he preached, as he went to those cities, in Acts 17, 6, in the town of Thessalonica, they were looking for Paul and his company, and they didn't find him, but they found this guy Jason, one of his friends, and some of the other brethren, and they brought them to the rulers of the city because they were mad about him delivering a girl from demon possession and losing their trade. If you know that story, I won't go into it, but they're looking for Paul. They can't find him. They drag Jason and some other guys in front of the rulers of the city, and they say, these who have turned the world upside down have come to us now too. They were not happy campers. The world had been turned upside down by what? By Jewish evangelists. We're not here. We're not elevating Jews. We're not demeaning Jews. We're talking about what God did through any. This is the people he chose. It's the people he used. And what they do in their pattern of life is called human nature. What God does them is called supernatural. That's like you and me. And so many Jews were saved and were sent with the gospel to the world, but it is true that most of the Jews were frustrated being told, you are no better than the heathen, that's what they called them, you're no better than the Gentiles around you. You're not better than they are. And salvation can only come through the blood atonement of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Yeshua HaMashiach, it would be in Hebrew, at least spoken today recently. It could be different and old. So, you're not better than them? You see, that was the whole point of Matthew 20 when Jesus told the story of the man that went out in the first hour of the day and got workers to work for 12 hours. And then at the end of the day, if he went out at the 11th hour, those guys didn't even work for an hour. Maybe they worked for a half hour. And he pays them the same amount ahead of the guys who had worked all day, who had borne the heat of the day, who were angry. We've borne the heat of the day. We've been doing this all our life. We've been doing this since our great, 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 great grandfather. I timed it. I saw how many it was. Back to Abraham. I didn't. But they, and I wouldn't remember how many to say. We've been doing this forever. How can you tell us that the Gentiles, we're no better than the Gentiles? Are you with the world? And yet, you might. What you think you deserve versus what you got. What other people got versus what you got. Does anybody not live in that world sometime? And so that was the whole point of that story. It wasn't just immediate situation. It was the entire history of Israel now being told, you're not better than them. Be happy about God's grace being given to them. Think of what was written in these chapters. God's sovereignty, chapters 9 through 11, and human responsibility to God is a mystery, and we've talked about that, and we will some more in chapter 11. But here first, you know, for the as much as Gentiles, if not more, he's showing them something that we benefit from in the church. God did so much for you as he did for nobody else, at least initially. It was through you that it came to everybody else. But God, look at what God did for you. You see, they had no problem with God's sovereign choices when God chose Abraham, their forefather. They had no problem with God's sovereignty to do whatever he wanted to do when God chose Isaac over Ishmael. They had no problem when God chose Jacob, their personal blessing. They had no problem with God choosing Moses over Pharaoh, of course, and Israel over Canaan. What a great blessing to them that God chose them and chose their history over others to bring the blessing of Christ to everyone. And so they had no problem. See, if God's choosing is only good if it matches my choosing, who is God really in that setting? I've made myself God. There's a lot of people who think they're praying to God, but they're really praying to themselves and expecting God to meet their need. Now, listen, everybody has a challenge. Everybody has different... It isn't easy. Life is just not easy, okay? I'm not saying it's so easy. Just believe in Jesus and everything's wonderful. I haven't lived that way in my life. Have you? But there is something wonderful. That's knowing that God chose you and that God called you. What is humility before God if it's not that he's the creator and he can do whatever he wants? So we look at verse 10 and 11. He said, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be. His name is not a religious gesture, a vain repetition. Jesus said in Mark 7 to the religious leaders, he goes, well did Isaiah prophesy about you guys when he said, these people worship me with their lips, these hypocrites. He called them, what did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites? He goes, this people honor me with their lips, but what? Their heart is far from me. Okay. So, and then Jesus would also say to people, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? The Apostle John said much about all this. If you walk in darkness while you profess the light, you're lying to yourself. Having said all that, you could spend all day saying what calling on the name of the Lord isn't when it's not real. You could be negative about all that. I did all my negativity. It's done. Having said all that, what a great prayer, calling on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. I planned this. I don't know if I was influenced by knowing that you were going to do your story. Lord, save me. Who said that? Lord, save me. Peter, where was he? Walking on the water. He's walking on water. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And he's walking on water, experiencing a miracle. And then he looks up above, it sees all this stuff, and he fears drowning. and freaks out and says, Lord, save me. How long does it take to regress back to fear? Apparently, not very long. And not very long. Usually, it's the next difficulty. It's the next difficulty. So do you think that probably how God wants to mature us and grow us and teach us is how to learn from one thing so that when we hit the next difficulty, we have a little more confidence in him and a little step back, deep breath, yoga position. No, I'm kidding. Scratch that from the... Okay, so Lord, save me. He was experiencing a miracle, and yet he was fearing drowning in the same moment. So listen, a first century Jew or a 21st century Gentile or Jew must come to living faith in Jesus and call upon the name of the Lord, the authority, the truth of who he is. His name is his authority, and it means you're submitting to that authority. And that's what we need. And there's a true sign of conversion, verses 14 through 17. It's not the only one, and everyone has a journey to grow. So take a deep breath. It's not going to be blast you if you're not preaching the gospel every day to 20 people. But nonetheless, let's read what it says. How then shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Listen, what a blessing. True conversion, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you know, there is a difference between the generic, I believe in God, right? And I follow Jesus Christ. How many people would say to you, well, I believe in God? How many times did I say, well, I guess I believe in God? You know? I mean, I can pay a lot for the brand name thing, or there's this generic one that just works just as good. I'll buy the generic one. It's a lot cheaper. It won't cost me as much. Do you know how much it costs you to say, I believe in God? Zero. But what happens, you know this as well as I do, when you say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with people, you're telling them something very important. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. He died for our sin. He paid a debt he did not owe for me. For me, who owes a debt I cannot pay. How rich am I, are you in Jesus Christ? Very rich, thank you, amen. In Romans 8, he who did not spare his only son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? God, I've said this before, God gave you and I the only thing that cost him when he gave us Jesus Christ. If God, if you would just work out my circumstance, then I'll know you love me. You really think, is that for sure? Is that, then I'll follow you. God doesn't seem to think that's true. Lord, if you just give me what I need physically, if you just heal me, then I'll follow you and I'll trust you with all my life, and because I'll know then that you love me. If you take care of this for me, then I'll know you love me. And the problem is for you and me in that is that we know God could do it. He could do it. He has no problem. You need a dime? It used to be, you know, you could say this. You need a dime to make a phone call. It's been, kids, there's a long wasted story there, but just check your cell phone for that. Check Google. But you know, if you're praying for a dime and you find one on the dollars, it absolutely makes no difference and takes no amount of difference of energy to God. He can do anything. When he says, is anything too hard for me? He's not saying some things are really hard for me and some things are easy, but I can even do the hard ones. There's no such thing as that. He created everything that is or ever will be. So he could do what you want him to do. And you know very well that he doesn't always do it. And that's not our testimony to people. I pray God does what I want. You should believe in God because he'll do what you want. That's the gospel. Some people would say that. Listen, God gave you the only thing that cost him, his son. He was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He bore the weight of our sins. How beautiful are the feet of them who preach, who bring the gospels from Isaiah 52, when God was restoring, promising restoration for Israel back to Jerusalem. And that was the good news at that moment, was God's going to bring you back into his good graces. He's for you, not against you. And he's proven it, not because he answers your immediate need that you think he should do. He can do that, and he does that, but he doesn't always do it the way we want, and we all know that. He gave you the only thing that cost him, because it cost him himself, everything. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And my friends, nobody has to agree with me, but if I'm going to preach the gospel, this is the gospel, the gospel. If you can't see, and you may need God to open your eyes. You may need blindness to be taken from you, and nobody's mad at you for that, but that's what's needed. Because if you cannot see that the cross of Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for you, for your salvation, if that's not enough to give you confidence in the love of God, nothing else God does in your life is ever going to fix you. Guaranteed. I'll say it till the day I die. It's not about me and how powerful I preach. This is the truth of God's word, and I need my eyes opened. You know, no matter how much light you shined to a blind person, you could use one of those giant movie light things that shines through the sky. It wouldn't make any difference. Blindness has to be, people have to be delivered from blindness. Do not be ashamed. If your prayer needs to be today, God, deliver me from the blindness that keeps me from seeing your love. Because I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, you may be blind to it. And that's what God was taking his people to, a blind world, to shine his lights, release them from the bondage of Satan and the darkness. God gave the only thing that cost him. Is if this is the message of the gospel, then how can they call upon him who they haven't believed? How will they believe without a preacher? How will they preach unless they're sent? How beautiful are the feet? What makes beautiful feet? Is it pumice soap, pedicures, and polish? Or is it the message those feet carry? The gospel's not good views. You've been through this many times. It's not how we see cultural and moral issues, though those do come into play, of course, in obedience to God. So we know that. But it's not good views, it's not good rules, it's good news. And it does say the gospel of peace. So we don't advocate to go up to people we don't know in every situation or any situation and just automatically say, you sinner, you're going to hell. That's not that, you know, the context there. No, it's a gospel of peace. God loves you. Listen. Do you know that God, the Bible says God knows every hair on your head. He knows everything that's happening in your life. He thinks more about you than the stars in the sky and the sands of the sea. Do you think it's possible God is thinking about you right now and caring about you with love? He's proven it because he's purchased forgiveness for all your sins in him. You really need to know him. I'm just giving an example. Don't write this down. This is what I have to say to people. Okay. And responses vary, don't they? Somebody says, well, what need do I have for forgiveness? What are you trying to say to me, buddy? Some people, it's even more. You know what? God? I think God owes me an apology. I've met many people. God owes me an apology for letting me go through this thing and letting my family have this and et cetera. And listen, I don't say that with that I'm mad at those people. I feel grief for them and empathy for them. They're blind to see what God has done for them. So often the good news is only understood when it's in light of the bad news. It's just how it is. Sometimes, so the reason we tell people the bad news is so they can understand the good news. It's not that we can't wait to tell people bad news about their sin. Judgment for sin is our portion without the blood of Jesus Christ. The generic God of as long as you believe in something, number one, brings no conflict. Number two, it makes no sense. And number three, it brings no salvation, which is the worst. The generic God of I just believe in God does nothing unless it leads you to hear and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. So salvation comes and understanding comes when Jesus is preached. So Paul rightly places a very high value on understanding our salvation clearly. I make no apology for making sure that I go back and do stuff like this regularly. It needs to happen. I need to be reminded of what my salvation's about. Yes, I have giftings and callings for God to use and work out in my life. I have people in my life, and they probably need a lot more help on how to deal with me. But nonetheless, we all need it. And all that stuff's true, but that's not the gospel. That's the fruit of the gospel. And Paul places rightly the highest possible value on understanding what salvation really is. And when we do, there's two things I'm confident happen when we do. Number one, we become extremely thankful. And today I would like to encourage you, this, it isn't on your own that you get anywhere. I'm not saying just be this. I'm telling you, straight out, up front, ask God, call on the name of the Lord, not only for your salvation generically or eternally, which is most important, but save you from yourself, your selfism. Is there anybody in this room that you do not need to be saved from yourself? You really don't need that? You're really just A-okay? I want to tell you something, I'm not. I've never been, ever, but I am a happy man and a blessed man. And I am, the thing I was going to say is that I'm encouraging you to ask God, is that you wouldn't just be thankful, that you'd become extremely thankful. Extreme sports. How much do people pay to have the equipment and take the time to do extreme sports? Extreme work schedules to get ahead. How much do extreme school work? Yeah, I'm taking extra credits because I want to crunch this down to 3 years, and I have a goal to meet, and I want to get there, and I'm being extreme. We're not supposed to be extreme. We need to be calm about this. We don't want to draw attention. We don't want to look weird. You know what I'm saying, is the what's put on us. I would suggest to you and me that there's going to come a point, if you get it, you're going to be not just thankful, extremely thankful. Would you think about that? God help my brothers and sisters and me to think about that. There's something more going on here than we give credit for. So number one, when I get this, the gospel, I become extremely thankful. Number two, I gain a passion to share it. The example that I used to give and has been given that is, to me, very weak, you can still give it if you want to, is would you, if you found out that Best Buy was selling fancy TVs for $40 and really good computers for $20, wouldn't you go tell all your friends? Have you ever heard that one? Like, you know, wouldn't you tell all your friends? Wouldn't you want them to know the good news? Well, okay, that's fine, but you know, it falls very short as an example because not everybody wants or needs a new TV. Not everybody wants or needs a computer. Much better is the flight attendant on the airplane after the explosion outside the window that has previously said, here's some really nice parachutes. They'll really go with your clothing. Would you like one? Oh, that doesn't fit good. I don't need it. It pushes me too far forward. Or she comes out and says, this plane is going down. Now, I got parachutes for everyone. Who wants one? That's a little closer. Who wants the parachute? Then, did you know what they're giving down at Walmart or Best Buy? Big, good deals. Good deals. Brothers and sisters, God could have used angels to speak everything. He did use the angels, didn't he? God uses angels, is that right? So you know what God uses angels to do most often? God sends angels to tell people things for them to tell other people. God sends angels to tell people things for the person to go tell other people. It's constant in the scripture. The angel doesn't just take care of everything. The angel works with a person by the grace of God to instruct them or give them information so that they can go share it with other people. You see, God, very faulty people, because that's all the kind of people there are. That's the only people there are. And that's why he'll use you. He'll use you. He will use you, and he will use me. You know, we make it so much about ourselves, and it's hard not to, and the comparisons go on, and you see somebody who just seems like whatever it is you want, they got it. You know, they're smooth with their words. They're nice in their clothes. Their interaction with people, they just, the doors that God opens for them, and you're going, well, you know, what am I, chopped liver? Yes. Shop liver's great, by the way. It was a wonderful thing. Yeah. You weren't in my Jewish family, so I get it. So God uses faulty people. It's not about how skilled we are. I mean, to improve in what your capacities are, what God gives you, that's what you do in every other area of your life. Yes, I should improve in being able to communicate with people. Why would I not? Why would I not want to? Why would that not matter to me? I want to be a hermit. I don't care. I'm too scared. I might fail. There's a lot of reasons. But God could have used angels all the way, and he didn't. He used faulty people, and that's why he'll use you. So here's a passion for others, a lasting passion, like we read here. I never have. I've never done it. Here's what I mean. I have not kept a perfect heart of passion for other people. Just as easy as it was for Peter to say, Lord, save me, I'm sinking, it's easy for me to say, after loving people and caring about them and praying for them, to all of a sudden become very selfish and self-centered and focused on me. Am I alone here? It's been that way all my life. Okay, it's been that way all my life. It's natural. I get it. Now I get it. It was never about how great Rick was going to be at keeping his passion. It's how wonderful God is to restore that passion. In my failure, when I see my hard heart and it meets his grace, he always brings me back. No evangelism class that teaches you how to talk to people about Jesus is going to be better. They might be great. What the tendency is this is how you do it. It's like a cookie cutter. That's a problem. You can't do that. You have to be real with people where they are and where you are. But nonetheless, there are great evangelism classes, perhaps. But listen to me. No evangelism than seeing your need for Jesus and being extremely thankful for what he's done for you. And gaining a simple love passion because of that for people. I know I was lost. I'm not just trying to be dramatic. I don't even want to say this. I know that I was lost. I can't be that way. I know. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know I was lost. And I know I would still be lost right now without Jesus. Do you know that? Do you really know that? Good. When I see the cross, what it means to me, how can I not see and not care? And it stops being about, well, did I do this well for 2 weeks in a row or 2 months in a row or 2 years in a row? Forget about it. Start right now going back to the cross. Every single time. You got no place else to go that's going to help you. You got no place else that's going to fix you. You want to do something else that's not Jesus-oriented? Do it. Do what you want. But if you want Jesus to be the focus and center of your life, you're going to have to keep going back again and again and again. And I'm not ashamed that I have to go back. I sometimes am overwhelmed by how much I need to. It's sad. It's painful. Maybe I get a little shame. But mostly, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God. I know that people around me are just as lost as I am. I don't think they're more lost than I am. I think they're just as lost as I am. Do you know the difference? And you are my family and friends and brethren, but listen, I know you're just as lost as I am. When you're without Jesus, when you're out of focus, you're lost. This isn't just a preaching message for me. This is breath. This is life. This is why we're here. Otherwise, I don't even want to do it. I don't need to do a church thing. I don't need I need Jesus every single day. And a lot of people who are Christians, and I'm not saying they're not saved, they're saved. But this is extreme to them. This is weirdness to them. You know that. It's like, that's a little bit much. I just want God to help me live my life. I believe in him. He died for my sins. I get it. I know I'm a sinner. Do you? You really know your... Sounds like it's a little program you found in a booklet. As Paul, let me just take you through this without talking about it. Verse 16, and then I'll close. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sounds got out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And it's going to go on from there, but it says he's gone out and he's shared, and we're going to do that later next week. And there's so much important stuff in there, and it's important stuff about faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I don't want to rush it, and obviously we're done. But I tell you this, is that as if Paul is saying, don't be discouraged that so many don't listen. Don't be discouraged that so many don't listen. Please listen to me for one more minute. I am eternally thankful that the people who saw me, and I was a righteous in my personhood, and I mocked Jesus, and I made fun of the very people that God used to lead me to the Lord. I thought they were total idiots. And I am so thankful that they didn't give up on coming to me. And it matters to me that others didn't come, but I'm afraid, friends, I am selfish. It doesn't matter to me as much as that I got to come. I can't be that way. I don't care about everybody more than me. I needed Jesus, and I'm glad somebody came to me, even at the mocking I gave them. It's as if Paul's saying, and salvation was open to you because of somebody coming to you, and it was because of the Jews' unbelief that God opened the door for you. Listen, we're tempted. We're so tempted to be discouraged You heard about Satan's yard sale, didn't you? So you get up to the driveway there, and he's got this, gosh, it looks like one of those, I wish I could think of the name of it. It looks like one of those fancy record machines at the you know, diner that plays all the jukebox. Why do you know that sinful word, all of you? Isn't that a sinful word? No, it's not. It's a jukebox, and it's like so fancy, and it's like the ultimate one that was ever made, and it's like $10. Oh, it's so cheap. This is going to be good. And you go to the next thing, and it's bells and whistles and electronics and everything, and it's you know, $15. And you keep going through and seeing all these shiny, glossy things and cool things and scary, wonderful, amazing things, and they're all just so low price. And then there's this broken down, partially wood, cracked, dirty, dusty thing over here. You don't even know what it goes. It's $500. It's the only thing that's above $50 in the whole, like, what in the world? What other stuff? Well, the other stuff, you know, lust of the flesh, pride of life, sexual lust, drugs, alcohol, all these other things. You can get some people on these. But this one here, it works every time. Discouragement. I turn this discouragement loose and watch people drop like flies and just give up. Brothers and sisters, you may have to fight discouragement. You won't be able to buy it. You might have to fight it. You're not weird. You're not a loser. Everything, Christian. I have to fight discouragement about every single thing because I'm just not Superman. I'm a failure in myself. I'm loved and welcomed and embraced by Jesus. I have gifts and talents. I do. But in myself, I needed the cross of Jesus Christ. Not just for a corner of my, you know, over here. Not just for my elbow. For my entire being. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that will teach us not to be ashamed. Let's stand.